Scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew 21 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in a marketplace. And he said to them, You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, Why are you standing here idle all day? They said to him, Because no one has hired us. He said to them, You also go into the vineyard. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first. When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now, when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. But he replied to one of them, Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give this last the same as I gave to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. So ends the reading.
I have an additional scripture reading from the lectionary cycle that I'm going to share with you this morning. It is the Old Testament reading for today, and it comes from the book of Exodus. It's found in chapter 16 and begins with verse 2. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then the Lord said to Moses, I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain to us? And Moses said, When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining. And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, What is it? For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. May God bless the reading and hearing of God's holy word. Some time back, one of our nation's politicians referred to the people of the United States as a nation of whiners. Now, this person received sharp criticism from the press, the spin doctors, the talking heads, and the like. Now, I'm not saying that I agree with that statement, but if it were true, it wouldn't be the first time, and it probably won't be the last. I am at times amazed and amused when I read the scriptures by just how whiny and gripey and complaint-filled the people of God can be. It is no wonder that at one time God was so tired of it and so tired of the corruption and sin that he threatened to just wipe out the entire human population and start over. I'm not talking about the Noah incident. That was a remnant. I'm talking about wipe the slate completely clean and start again. But God, being God, loved this creation far too much and was talked out of it, just as the Lord had planned all along. Let's take, for example, our reading that I just shared from the book of Exodus. You all know this one. It's part of a long saga of God freeing the Israelites from bondage in Egypt and bringing them to the land that God has promised, a land described as one flowing with milk and honey. Well, where we pick up in this story, the adrenaline rush of their initial escape out of Egypt has worn off. They've been walking for a bit now, and they're getting tired. My feet hurt. Can we stop now? Little Moshe has to go to the bathroom. Are we there yet? Can you imagine being Moses and Aaron and having to lead this group? But wait. Just before our reading today, they have had high adventure indeed. They have watched the Lord God the Almighty part the waters of the Red Sea so that they could walk across, thousands of them, on dry land safely to the other side. Now, when I've watched the Cecil B. DeMille version of the Ten Commandments and seen that scene on TV, it's pretty stirring. Just imagine being there in place, in person. And then, after they've crossed over, God continues to hold back the waters just long enough so that the Pharaoh and his army can be deep in the middle of the bed of that sea. You see, old Pharaoh had changed his mind, and he was coming to get his slave labor force back. They get right into the middle of that bed, and God lets the waters loose, and the undertow is something fierce. It sweeps the whole lot of them away, and they drown right there before the eyes of the Israelites. So the Israelites have witnessed this amazing display of God's power and God's faithfulness. And what do? The Red Sea is barely behind them, and they're complaining again. They're worried that they're not going to have enough food. We should have stayed in Egypt. Sure, they beat and abused us, but at least we knew where our next meal was coming from. Boy, to be God, listening to all of that, after what God has just done for them, and they're so worried. Please, do you think a God who can orchestrate the plagues, part the sea, destroy the enemy, can't come up with some sandwiches and water for a few people? So they whine and they cry and they complain to God, through Moses, of course, who has to listen to it all. God and Moses talk. God comes up with a plan. Manna. But they are only to take enough for that day, so that they are forced to trust God and let God provide. And God does. But shortly thereafter, they start complaining again. We're really getting bored of this manna. Can we have something else to eat? Maybe a little meat would be nice. Again, God and Moses talk, and God provides. You've heard the term sitting duck? Well, these were sitting quail. yes, they had to go out, they had to get them, they had to prepare them and cook them. They didn't walk out of their tents and find a pre-cooked filet mignon, baked potato, and a side salad with blue cheese dressing on a plate for each individual. They had to collect the manna. They had to prepare the meal. But God heard and answered their cries. God hears prayers, and God provides. Not unlike the Israelites, we have a tendency to want a very specific outcome when we pray to God. And when we don't get what we want, or it doesn't look the way we expected that it would, we have trouble seeing the hand of God in what is going on. We don't have the eyes to see the evidence of God's faithfulness and care. You know, there's a little bit of the same thing going on in the gospel reading from Matthew that Jack read. You remember, Jesus tells the parable about the day laborers in the vineyard and how at the end of the day, everybody got paid the same, those who'd worked all day and those who'd only worked for a couple of hours. At first glance, you might tend to side with the whiners and complainers on this one. Equal pay for equal work, right? You work less, you get paid less. That's how it works in our world. But let's take a step back. Let's look at this from another angle. First of all, let us remember that when Jesus tells a parable, it's not really about what it seems. This parable is not about fair wages for vineyard workers. This is about us and the grace of God. But nevertheless, let's go back to the story. Day laborers and their families were some of the poorest and most vulnerable in society. They literally lived day to day and hand to mouth. And I am absolutely certain that every one of those men gathered in the marketplace that morning, when they left their homes and walked to the center of town, uttered the prayer, "Dear God, please let someone give me work today, so that I can buy food and take care of my family." Every one of them. And those who were first chosen to go out in the field got their answer right away. They would work a day, get a day's pay, and get to take home food to hungry and smiling kids. But what about those guys who were in the marketplace practically all day long? You know, we hear that word idle, and some infer that they were standing around being lazy. But I beg to differ. They were desperate. They stayed there in the hope, the desperate hope, that maybe they could even just get a couple of hours worth of work, a little bit of money, to buy a crust of bread, to fend off starvation a little longer. And their prayers were answered. Just when it seemed that they might go home empty-handed and have to listen to their hungry children cry themselves to sleep, God steps in. The vineyard owner calls them into the fields. "Yes, thank you, God." Then the whistle blows and the workday is done. It's time to line up and get paid. The ones who worked only for a short while aren't expecting much, but they're grateful that they're going to be getting anything at all. And to their joyous surprise, they are paid in full. There will be a real dinner tonight. And the ones who worked there all day still received every dollar that they had agreed to, but they're angry at the vineyard owner's generosity, angry that he was kind to someone in a desperate position, angry and jealous, even though each and every one of them knew what fear and desperation felt like. The owner of the vineyard rightfully points out that it's his money and he can do with it as he pleases. Now, I'm surprised he didn't cut their wages or give them a swift kick in the pants for their attitude, but he doesn't. Now, remember what I said earlier, that this really isn't about laborers and vineyards? But we can learn from this parable and from our Israelite ancestors and from countless encounters of God and God's people throughout Scripture and time is this. We can't begrudge God's generosity. It is grace abounding, and it is a gift. It is not earned. And hopefully we can also see and learn that God is grace-filled, generous, and God provides. God cares about us and answers our prayers, even if they are uttered in a whiny tone of voice. Now, the answer may not be what we wanted. The answer may not look like we expected it to, but God is faithful. And ultimately, that is enough.